آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
As we've announced, we are fortunate today to have Sheikh Habib Ali Al-Jifri, who's come from Yemen to deliver a lecture to us. Before he begins, I'll introduce who he is. Habib Ali Al-Jifri, he's a sheikh who's from Yemen, from the south of Yemen, from Hadramaut. And he's a teacher in Darul Mustafa in Hadramaut. And he teaches many of the Islamic sciences, amongst them fiqh and hadith and Quran and so on. But most importantly, his speciality is the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But above all of that, the special honor that he has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ennobled him with that. Inshallah, before inshallah he will deliver a lecture to us. And again, I just want to emphasize that we're fortunate to have him here. He's come from Bradford directly here, and tonight he's going on to London. So he's provided us with some of his time to educate us and to teach us. I'll hand over to the Sheikh.
الحمد لله حمدا تطفو به السريرة وتقوم منا به السيرة وتتنور البصيرة وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على إمام أهل الحضيرة الذي أسعده الله تعالى وأسعد به من أراد له السعادة وهيأه بمحبة المصطفى واتباعه للحسنى وزيادة صلى الله وسلم وبارك وكرم عليه وعلى آله السادة القادة وعلى أصحابه والتابعين له على نهجه وصوابه إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم.
All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praises by which our hearts will be purified, praises by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us stand upon the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, praises by which he will guide us in his light. And may the blessings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly be upon his most beloved, the greatest of all creation, by whom he guided mankind towards him. And may the praises and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his family and upon all of his companions until the day of judgment.
وبعد معاشر الإخوان فحمدا لله الذي أوصلنا إليكم وجمعنا بكم ولا شك أن الاجتماع أهل الإسلام والإيمان في مواطن رضوان الله عز وجل وفي فضائل الأزمان وعلى الوصف الذي يرتضيه الحنان المنان لا شك أن لهذا الاجتماع عند الله عز وجل شان وأي شان.
To begin, all praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having brought us all together and brought us together in a place where we can mention him in the best of all times, and in a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we can seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we praise him because he is the one from whom all praise is due.
الناس في الدنيا يعقدون اجتماعات يلتقون فيها.
People in this world, they worship Allah, they worship and they gather together in places where they seek the dunya, where they seek this world.
واجتماعاتهم وهم ترجع قيمتها وترجع مرتبتها إلى المقاصد التي عليها يجتمعون وإلى الثمرات التي تثمرها تلكم الاجتماعات.
And these people, when they meet together in these places, they meet together for whatever intentions and for whatever purposes they have in those gatherings, and they seek those purposes and intentions that they have in those gatherings.
وإذا أردتم أن تعرفوا ثمرة مثل اجتماعكم هذا فتأملوا قيمته.
If you want to if all of us want to realize the value of this gathering that we have and the reasons why we have, then think about the value of such a gathering.
قيمة الاجتماع الذي نحن فيه يرجع إلى المقصد الذي من أجله اجتمعنا. نحن لم نجتمع وإياكم بقصد حصول شيء من متاع الدنيا الفاني.
The value of a gathering such as this goes back to the reason why we have gathered. So the reason why we have gathered together in this place. We have not gathered together seeking anything from each other.
نحن اجتمعنا هنا لنذكر الله عز وجل.
The only reason that we've gathered together in such a place is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولنتذاكر فيما ينفعنا عند الله جل جلاله.
And the other reason why we've gathered together is to remind each other of what, to remind each other of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فقد حدثنا المعصوم الذي لا ينطق عن الهوى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بأن مجلسنا هذا مذكور في العالم الأعلى.
And the infallible one has mentioned, the infallible one, the Prophet peace be upon him, has mentioned that gatherings such as these are mentioned in the highest of all gatherings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وأن الملائكة في العالم الأعلى يتمنون حضور مثل هذا المجلس.
And the angels in the highest of all gatherings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wish and they desire to be in gatherings such as this.
لما؟
The question is why?
لأن الله هو الجليس في هذا المجلس.
The answer is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our companion in this gathering.
يقول في الحديث القدسي أنا جليس من ذكرني.
He says in a hadith Qudsi, I am the companion of the one who remembers me.
فمن تأمل هذا المعنى وتذوقه بقلبه أدرك قيمة أن يجلس في مجلس يترقى فيه وهو العبد الصغير الضعيف إلى مرتبة يجالسه فيها الملك اللطيف.
So if somebody thinks about this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he takes the real meaning of it, then he realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him in these gatherings, and he, despite being a weak slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rises in ranks until he is in the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ثم إن الله جل جلاله لم يخلقكم عبثا.
Then we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not create us for no reason whatsoever.
خلقكم لمقصد كبير عظيم.
In reality, He created us for a great purpose.
وجعل حياتكم هذه الصغيرة القصيرة المنقضية يترتب عليها شأن سعادتكم الكبرى أو ما هو ضد السعادة والعياذ بالله.
And He has made our life, this short passing life, He's based upon it our eternal future, our eternal pleasure or happiness in the hereafter. And we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this, or being in a state of wretchedness for eternity.
ولما كنا نحن البشر نعجز عن فهم ما يراد منا ونعجز عن الثبات على ما يراد بنا إلا إذا وجدنا ما نتشبث به من الأمر المحسوس ولا تكتفي قلوبنا لضعفها بالخبر غير المحسوس الذي يأتي بقراءة أو بإخبار.
When we as human beings have failed to understand the real purpose of our existence, or have failed to remain firm upon the purpose of our existence, because in reality we're a creation who needs something which is concrete and firm in front of us. And when these things don't come in front of us, such as information or such as something physical, then we lose sight of all of this.
جعل الله لنا قدوة ودليلا وهاديا ومرشدا هو من جنسنا من البشر.
As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has placed for us and He's provided us a guide and a teacher and one who will take us towards Him. And He has made this one from amongst our own kind. He has made this guide from amongst the human beings.
صبه في القالب البشري.
And He has spread Him amongst the people.
وإن كان يحتوي على خصوصيات لا تحتوي عليها البشر.
Despite the fact that He, peace be upon Him, has certain qualities that no other human beings have.
حتى في مظاهر بشريته.
Even to the extent in His physical appearance.
فمن مظاهر البشرية الأكل والشرب والنوم.
From amongst the physical appearances of a human being, from the external physical appearance of a human being, is is, for example, eating and drinking and sleeping.
وجاءنا نبي رسول من أنفسنا كما قال جل جلاله لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم.
And he sends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends one from amongst our own selves. As is mentioned in the Holy Book, that indeed there has come to you a messenger from amongst your own selves. Grievous is it upon him what you are suffering. He is covetous and desirous towards you.
وَجَعَلَهُ بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا يَأْكُلُ وَيَشْرَبُ وَيَنَامُ لَكِنَّهُ مَيَّزَهُ حَتَّى فِي بَشَرِيَّتِهِ حَتَّى فِي أَكْلِهِ وَشُرْبِهِ وَنَوْمِهِ.
He made him a human being like ourselves, who eats, who drinks, and who sleeps. However, in even these most simple of things, he has differentiated the Prophet, peace be upon him, from the rest of us.
قال في الحديث الصحيح الوارد عنه صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله يخبر عن شان صيامه وهو امتناع عن الطعام والشراب قال إني لست كهيئتكم إني أبيت عند ربي يطعمني ويسقيني.
He mentions about his eating in an authentic hadith which has come down to us, where he talks about how he fasted. He mentions, I am not like the rest of you. I am provided sustenance from my Lord.
وتكلم عن نومه فقال تنام عيني ولا ينام قلبي.
And when he spoke about his sleep, he mentions that my eyes sleep but my heart does not sleep.
فجعل الله عز وجل بشريته ليست للنقص وليست لمشابهتنا ولكن لإنقاذنا والأخذ بأيدينا.
So the humanity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made it for a purpose, not that it was the same as the rest of us, but he made him a human being so that he will guide us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فمن انشغل بمجرد البشرية التي ينتسب إليها صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن المقصود من هذه البشرية أخطأ وضل الطريق وأساء الأدب على الحبيب المصطفى.
So whoever focuses in upon the humanity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, despite the fact that he came only as a guide for us, then he's missed the path and he's mistaken in understanding the purpose of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لأن العلم بأنه بشر والاعتقاد بأنه بشر أمر يشاركنا فيه أبو لهب وأبو جهل وأمية.
Because the fact and the knowledge that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was a human being, and that he shares with us the quality of being a human being, this is something that even Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, they themselves knew that.
ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق.
In the Quran it mentions that the disbelievers would say, what is with this Prophet? He eats food and he walks in the marketplaces.
لكن الفرق بيننا وبينهم أن لنا فهما في إيماننا ببشريته.
However, the difference between us and the disbelievers is that we have a firm understanding of the reality of the humanity of the Prophet.
وهو أن بشريته كمال في دلالته على الله.
And that is that his humanity, the fact that he is a human being, is in the perfect sense to guide us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لأنه لو لم يكن بشرا ما استطعنا أن نقتدي بحضرته.
Because if he was not a human being, there would have been no way that we would have been able to follow the Prophet.
لو لم يكن بشرا يعاني ما نعاني ويعمل ما نعمل فكيف ستكون حياتنا كلها عبادة لله إذن.
If he did not suffer what we suffered, and if he did not do what we do, then how would we be able to worship in the same way that he worshipped?
فالمؤمن يرقى من فهمه لبشرية النبي إلى مستوى الأخذ والتلقي والاقتداء بالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
So the believer, he rises above the level of trying to understand the humanity of the Prophet ﷺ, and he rises to the level of taking from his reality and taking from his guidance.
فإذا فقه المؤمن هذا المعنى ارتقى باقتدائه للنبي من بشرية النبي إلى التلقي عن خصوصية النبي.
So when a believer has realized this reality, then he raises himself from the level of trying to follow the humanity of the Prophet ﷺ to trying to follow the special features of the Prophet ﷺ.
وخصوصية النبي ترقي المؤمن إلى حقيقة التوحيد لله.
And the special feature of the Prophet ﷺ, it takes the believer to a true realization of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
هذه المراتب الثلاثة بشرية ثم خصوصية ثم توحيد.
These three levels are the humanity, and then the special features, and then the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وثمرتها استقامة على العمل الصالح.
And the fruits of this, of these levels, is that we will remain firm and upright in virtuous deeds.
يقول الله تعالى مخبرا لنا بهذا الأمر يخاطب نبيه قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of this in the Holy Quran, where He tells us, say, indeed I am only a human being. Revelation has come down to me that there is no God except for Allah. So whoever hopes for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let him act good deeds and not associate any partners in his worship with Allah.
فَالْمَرْتَبَ الْأُولَى الْبَشَرِيَّةَ قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ.
The first level of the humanity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stated where it said, indeed, I am only a human being like you.
وهذا الحد هو الذي يعرفه المؤمنون ويعرفه الكفار أيضا.
And this degree, this level, the believers know this and the disbelievers know this.
لكن الفرق بيننا وبينهم المرتبة الثانية يوحى إلي فارتقى هذا الذي هو بشر في صورته مثلنا إلى مرتبة لا نستطيع أن نكون فيها مثله
However, the believer rises above the rest of the disbelievers by knowing the second level, that revelation has come down to him. And this is the way that the Prophet, peace be upon him, rises above the rest of mankind, and in which no human being can reach to his level, in that inspiration comes down to him.
وهذا هو معنى الخصوصية لرسول الله بين البشر.
And this is the meaning that the Prophet, peace be upon him, amongst the rest of mankind, has a special rank.
وهذه الخصوصية التي هي خصوصية اختيار الله اصطفاء الله له سبحانه وتعالى خصوصية اختيار الحق جل جلاله لسيدنا محمد هي المعبر عنها بالوحي.
And this special feature of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled him out and he's purified him and he's taken him to be the one to whom revelation comes down.
وقتضت هذه الخصوصية أن تندرج تحتها وتتفرع عنها عجائب من الخصوصيات التي لا تنقضي ولا تنتهي.
And the results of this and the necessity of this, the fact that the Prophet has these special features, is that many amazing things come from the Prophet, peace be upon him.
وهي التي ألف فيها أئمة السنة رضي الله عنهم ونفعنا بهم كتبا مستقلة ككتب الخصائص ككتاب الخصائص الكبرى للإمام الحافظ السيوطي.
And in this regard, many of the great scholars of our religion have written books in which they have detailed the special features of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Amongst them is the book by Imam al-Suyuti, in which he's listed these features of the Prophet.
في مجلدين.
In two volumes.
يتكلم فقط عن التميز الذي ميز الله به سيدنا محمدا بسبب الاصطفاء له والخصوصية له بالوحي عن بقية الخلق.
In two volumes, Imam al-Suyuti, he has listed all those features which differentiate the Prophet, peace be upon him, from the rest of mankind by the fact that revelation has come down to him.
فاقتضى معنى الوحي العصمة عن الخطأ أو عن الإساءة.
And by the fact that revelation comes down, it necessitates that the one who receives it is free of ever making mistakes and is infallible.
واقتضى معنى الوحي وهو الاستفاء الرباني أن يكون شان الإيمان مربوطا منوطا بقوة المحبة للموحى إليه.
And the necessity also of this is that the state of that person who receives this revelation is that that person is so firmly tied to being deeply in love with the one from whom the revelation has come.
فلم يأذن لنا الله جل جلاله أن نحب أحدا من الخلق قط كمحبتنا لسيدنا محمد حتى أنفسنا لأنه لم يحب أحدا من الخلق كمحبته جل جلاله لسيدنا محمد.
And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted for human beings, for believers, to love anybody from amongst the creation to the degree that we love the Prophet, peace be upon him. Even to the extent that we love the Prophet, peace be upon him, more than our own selves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his absolute love is towards his beloved peace
be upon him. يقول سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه لرسول الله لأنت أحب إلي من أهلي ومالي وولدي والناس أجمعين إلا نفسي يا رسول الله.
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than my wealth and then my family and everything that it is, except for my own self.
ولم يقل هذا إلا لأنه قد أراد الله له كمالا في الارتقاء فتنبه إلى أمر في نفسه فعرضه على الطبيب صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
The only reason that Sayyidina Umar Adlan said this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to rise up to the highest of levels, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this thing to come out, so to come out in front of the greatest of all doctors to cure him.
فقال له ليس بعد يا عمر لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من نفسه التي بين جنبيه.
And so the Prophet peace be upon him, he told Umar, he said, none of you truly believes until he loves me even more than that which is within his own self.
ثم قول النبي لا يؤمن.
Think about the statement of the Prophet where he said, none of you truly believes.
بمعنى لا يكمل إيمانه.
And what this means is that a person does not have perfect and true faith.
الإيمان متعلق بصلة العبد بربه.
Despite the fact that faith is linked to the relationship between a slave and his Lord.
فما دخل محبة النبي أكثر من أنفسنا بعبادتنا لربنا. الإيمان بين العبد وربه. فما دخل محبة النبي في أمر بين العبد وربه.
If faith is between a slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what relationship has the love of the Prophet peace be upon him got to do with this faith?
لأنه الواسطة لنا في التلقي عن الرب يوحى إلي. الله لم يوحي إليك ولم يوحي إلي أنا لكنه أوحى إلى سيدنا محمد وأمره أن يبلغني ويبلغك.
However, the Prophet peace be upon him, he is the medium by which we receive the revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send down revelation to me or to you. He sent it down to the Prophet peace be upon him, who delivered this revelation to all of us.
فلا يصح كمال إيمانك به جل جلاله إلا إذا أحببت وعظمت واحترمت وقدرت استفاءه واختياره جل جلاله.
So none of us has true faith until we have accepted and we have realized the station of the Prophet peace be upon him, and we have loved him truly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him.
فالمحبة والتعظيم وطلب الرضا أوصاف قوية الصلة بالعبادة لله جل جلاله.
So this love and this purification, these are important qualities, and these are from amongst the greatest qualities that a person needs in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لهذا قال ربنا لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله.
As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will not find a people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving those who oppose Allah and the Messenger.
لأن المحبة أمر لا ينفصل عن الإيمان.
Because love is something which can never be separated from faith.
وهذا المعنى أيضا يتصل بطلب الرضا.
And this meaning is also connected to seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فنحن نطلب بأعمالنا الصالحة رضوان الله تعالى ورضوان رسوله.
And so we, as a result of, or because of our virtuous deeds, we are only seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pleasure of His beloved.
لأنه يقول جل جلاله والله ورسوله أحق أن يرضوه.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah and His Messenger, they are the ones who are most worthy of us pleasing them.
وقد قال تعالى أن يرضوه ولم يقل يرضوهما.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to please him, and not, he did not say to please the both of them.
قال أهل التفسير لاتحاد الرضا.
The scholars who explain the Quran say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to please him because the pleasure in reality goes back to the same source.
فرضا رسول الله هو رضا الله.
By pleasing the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality we please Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. ورضوان الله تعالى هو رضوان نبيه.
And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the pleasure of the Prophet peace be upon him.
فإذا فقهنا هذا المعنى الراقي في معاملتنا لله عز وجل عرفنا كيف نتعامل مع رسوله.
So we understand this lofty understanding in how we deal with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Only then can we truly deal and realize who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لأن معاملتنا لرسول الله هي معاملة لله.
Because our dealings and our interaction with the Blessed Prophet peace be upon him in reality is our dealing and interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الله يقول لسيدنا محمد إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his beloved Prophet in the Quran, indeed those who take pledge with you, they have taken pledge with Allah. Allah's hand is over them.
لهذا المعنى ينبغي أن تتعلق قلوبنا في صلتنا بالله عز وجل بأمور متعلقة بسيدنا محمد.
As a result of this, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should focus on those things which bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those things which are pleasing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أيضا تعظيمك ومحبتك لا بد وأن تنصرف إلى نوع من الخلق. هذا أمر قد ركبه الله في نفسك، ركب الله في نفوس البشر أنهم لا بد وأن يعظموا وأن يحبوا وأن يتجهوا وأن يتعلقوا وأن يعجبوا بأشياء مخلوقة أمامهم.
These things, however, should not only stay there, but this love and this pleasure should also pass on to the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in such a way that we deal with the rest of creation.
فإن كان ولا بد أن نتعلق ببشر أو بخلق فالإيمان يقتضي أن نجعل هذا النوع المتعلق من التعلق يرتبط بمن أمرنا الله بمحبتهم وتعظيمهم. لهذا أقام الله لنا الكعبة، أقام الله لنا رمضان، أقام الله لنا النبي أو الأنبياء، أهل البيت، الصحابة، أهل الصلاح وأهل العلم. لما؟ لتتعلق قلوبنا بهذه المحسوسات التي نفقهها ونعرفها. نحن لم نر الله جل جلاله، لكنه علق قلوبنا بمحسوسات وجعل التعلق بها تعلقا به جل جلاله.
الله سبحانه وتعالى realizing that we as a creation can only link ourselves to those things that are tangible and those things that are physically present in front of us. He's provided and placed things which are physically present in front of us, and as a result of attaching ourselves to these things, we can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's made the Kaaba, he's provided with the Prophet upon him, he's provided the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's brought forth people of righteousness. All of these things we have to link ourselves to in order to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فتعلقنا بهذه المحسوسات لأن الله أحبها يجمع قلوبنا على الغيب وهو التعلق بالله جل جلاله.
So by us linking ourselves to all of these things, in reality we are bringing ourselves together to those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and as a result we are attaching ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in the unseen.
فمحبة الأماكن والأزمان والذوات التي أحبها الله تجمع القلب وتوصله إلى محبة الله.
So loving these places and these places and these times and all these different tangible things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in reality takes our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لهذا المعنى أجاب سيدنا عمر بقوله بعد أن راجع نفسه لأنت الآن يا رسول الله أحب إلي من نفسي التي بين جنبي. قال له الآن تم إيمانك يا عمر.
As a result of this, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he responded to the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, now you are more beloved to me even than my own self. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, now, O Umar, you have completed your faith.
الآن يتم إيمان عمر.
The question, now, only now has the faith of Umar become complete.
لم يتم إيمانه بإعلانه لإسلامه.
Didn't his faith become complete by announcing his Islam?
بدفاعه عن رسول الله.
Or by defending the Prophet peace be upon him.
بجهاده في سبيل الله.
Or by fighting for the sake of Allah.
بالهجرة.
Or by migration.
بالنصرة.
Or by strength.
بإنفاق المال.
Or by spending.
بأن جعله الله سببا لعز المسلمين. الله والإسلام. اللهم عز الإسلام بأحد العمرين.
Or by even making Umar radiallahu anhu one of the causes by which Islam is honored, as is in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, oh Allah, honor Islam by one of the two Umars.
كل هذه الأعمال العظيمة لم تكن سببا في كمال إيمانك يا سيدنا عمر.
Honor all of these things are caused by which Umar's iman, by which Umar's faith has become complete.
إلا بعد الحب.
Until his love is there.
والحب الذي يفوق حبك لنفسك.
And not only that, a love which supersedes and which is more than love for his own self.
فهم سيدنا عمر هذا الدرس.
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he understood this lesson.
فعرف كيف يحب من أجل الله.
And so then he realized how to love for the sake of Allah.
ويعظم من أجل الله.
And to respect and honor for the sake of
ويعلق
Allah.
ويعلق قلبه من أجل الله.
And to attach his heart for the sake of Allah.
فلما فتحت مكة.
And so when Mecca was conquered.
وجاء بعدها رسول الله لحجة الوداع.
And when the Prophet peace be upon him came after for the farewell.
وقف سيدنا عمر يخاطب رسول الله.
سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه began to address the Prophet peace be upon him.
عن أمر كان سببا من أسباب هذه المحبة من أجل الله والتعظيم من أجل الله والتعلق من أجل الله.
He began to address him about the cause which was related to his love for Allah.
فالتفت إلى رسول الله وقال يا رسول الله هل اتخذنا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى.
So he turned to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, O Prophet, should we not take the station of Ibrahim as a place for prayer?
ما لك ولمقام إبراهيم يا فاروق عندك الكعبة.
So the question is, what have you got to do with the station of Ibrahim when you have the Kaaba in front of you?
ماذا يوجد في مقام إبراهيم?
What is there present in the station of Ibrahim?
مقام إبراهيم عبارة عن حجرة.
The station of Ibrahim is only a stone, a rock.
ما ميزتها?
What's the special feature of this?
أن محبوبا عند الله عز وجل قد وقف فوقها.
The only thing is that one who is beloved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stood on this rock.
حتى أثرت أقدامه فيها.
To the extent that his feet left a trace in the rock.
وأنت إيمانك وتوحيدك وعقيدتك يا سيدنا عمر جعلتك تعظم الأحجار من أجل الصالحين الذين يقفون عليها.
And your faith and your belief, O Umar, it's led you now to the extent that you venerate those places upon which the righteous people have stood on.
إلى حد تريد أن تجعلها في صلاتك.
To the extent that you want to make this place a place of
prayer. تصلي عندها.
And you want to pray at this place.
وبعد ذلك يأتي القرآن من السماء.
And after this, the revelation came down from the heavens.
مؤيدا لهذه العقيدة الصافية.
In backing up and supporting this pure and clear belief.
القائمة على محبة وتعظيم من أحب وعظم الله جل جلاله.
Based upon a belief which is based upon firm respect and reverence of those.
تأتي الآية واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى.
And so the verse came down saying, take the place of Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim.
فصار من السنة إذا طفت. أن تأتي خلف مقام إبراهيم وتصلي تركع وتسجد والحجر أمامك.
And so it's become from amongst the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that when a person goes around the Kaaba after he's completed it, he stands behind the station of Ibrahim and he prostrates himself there.
طيب أليس هناك خوف على اعتقادنا على توحيدنا نركع ونسجد أمامنا حجرا نختارها لذلك؟
Do we not have a fear that we're in fact standing and prostrating in front of a rock?
لا.
No.
لأن الأمر مرتبط بالله.
Because the reality is that this matter is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وهذا الأمر له مساس وارتباط قوي بأحوالنا وأحوالكم اليوم.
And this reality has a link, a direct and a firm link with our realities now.
أحوالنا وأحوالكم اليوم تحتاج إلى وقفة تأمل ونظر بيننا وبين الله.
Our state now requires to stop and to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to think about those
states. نجد الاستقامة ثقيلة على قلوبنا.
Why do we find to remain upright in belief? Why do we find it difficult upon our hearts?
لماذا نجد الدنيا مسيطرة علينا وتلعب بعقولنا?
Why do we find that this world and the pleasure of this world have taken control of our hearts and they have controlled our understandings?
لماذا نؤثر الفاني على الباقي?
Why do we prefer that thing which is perishing to that thing which is eternal?
لماذا نجد طباعنا وأنفسنا تغلب علينا إن غضبنا خرجنا عن الأدب وإن فرحنا خرجنا عن الأدب وإن حزننا خرجنا عن الأدب وإن خفنا خرجنا عن الأدب لماذا تقلبات أحوال نفوسنا تخرجنا عن معنى المعاملة مع الله?
Why is it that our own lowly states have conquered and have overcome our own selves? Why is it that when we become angry, we step over the limits in our dealings with others? When we become happy, we go beyond the limits. When we become sad, we go beyond the limits. Why has our own lower self? Why has it conquered and it has overcome us?
لأن إيماننا ومحبتنا ويقيننا في الغالب لم تتعدى عقولنا. لم تخرج من العقل وتحل في القلب.
Because the reality is that our belief and our certainty has not gone and has not overpowered our hearts and it's not overpowered our intellects.
والعقل لا يستطيع أن يسيطر على النفس.
And the intellect is never able to control the soul.
أنت تعتقد تماما أن الرزاق هو الله.
For example, we all believe that the one who provides is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فلماذا إذا ضعف مرتبك أو نقص دخلك حملت هم المعيشة؟
So why is it then when our income becomes low or our sustenance is less, then life becomes difficult for us?
لماذا القلق؟
Why do we have so much anxiety?
لماذا الخوف؟
Why is the fear?
أتعرف؟
Do you know?
لأن الأمر لم يصل إلى القلب.
Because the matter, this reality has not entered into
العقل
our
يعرف أن الرزاق هو الله.
Our intellects know that the one who provides is Allah.
لكن القلب لم يذوق بعد هذا المعنى.
But our hearts has not tasted this meaning.
وإذا لم يذوق القلب هذا المعنى ولم يترسخ فيه جاءت النفس ووسوست هي والشيطان للإنسان.
If this meaning does not remain firm in our hearts and it's not solid within our hearts, then our nafs, our lower self, it comes and it whispers upon ourselves.
الهم والقلق والسهر والخوف من أجل الرزق. هل يزيد في الرزق أو ينقص؟
All this anxiety and depression, all these states of fear and worry about our sustenance, will any of this benefit in increasing our sustenance?
لا.
Not in the least.
وأنت تعلم.
And we all know that.
وما دمت تعلم أن المبيت في الليل سهران على وصف القلق لا يحل الإشكال، فلماذا تسهر؟ لماذا لا تنام؟
We all know that if a person stays up all night worrying about where his money is going to come from and worrying where his sustenance is going to come from, that all that sleepless nights is not going to bring him any increase in his sustenance.
لأن الإنسان ليس مركبا فقط من عقل وجسد.
Because the reality is that the human being is not only created from an intellect and from a physical body.
بل له قلب ومشاعر وأحاسيس في النفس.
The reality is that he has a heart and he has sensations and he has feelings which are there within himself.
وهذه الأحاسيس التي في النفس لا يتأتى أن تخضع وأن تكون تابعة لمجرد قناعة العقل.
Yet all of these sensations and these feelings, all of these things are never below or never controlled by the intellect.
حمك الله. المصاب بمرض السكر يعلم أن أكل الحلوى تؤذيه.
The one who suffers from diabetes, for example, he knows that sugar will harm him.
يعرف أن أكلة الحلوى تؤذي عقله يعرف هذا.
His intellect, his mind, it knows that if he eats something sweet, it will harm him.
لكنه أحيانا يسترق الحلوى ويأكلها.
However, sometimes because he has a desire to eat something sweet, his desire will overcome him and he will eat this.
لما يأكلها وهو يعلم بعقله أنها تضره.
Why does he do this when he knows that eating that will harm him?
لأن النفس تشتهيها.
The only reason is because his soul desires it.
إذن هناك في الإنسان جانب غير العقل يوجه الإنسان.
So within the human being there is a side which is not the intellect which drives the human being.
وهو أشد تأثيرا في الإنسان من العقل.
And in reality, its effect is even more dangerous and its effect is even more stronger than the intellect.
لأن انفعالات النفس وميلانها وآثارها تجعل الإنسان يفقد العقل في كثير من الأحيان.
Because the states of the soul, the states of the human being and the interaction within the human being and all of these states within him, it often overpowers the intellect.
إذا انقبضت أو حزنت أو أصابتك الكآبة عجزت عن التفكير.
So when a person, for example, when a person he's overcome with a problem or he's facing a difficulty, what then happens is then
إذا غضبت ما استطعت أن تتمالك نفسك وارتكبت أشياء عقلك في الحالة الطبيعية لا يقرها.
He then is overcome and he can't even stop for a moment and start thinking of how to deal with the situation.
إذا ثارت شهوتك ما استطعت أن تتمالك نفسك وعقلك لا يقرك في الحالة الطبيعية.
If, for example, his desires overtake him, then his intellect has become overcome, and his intellect cannot overpower his intellect, even though he knows what he's doing is not right.
إذا لا يكفي أن تقتنع بعقلك بدينك أو أن تقرأ القرآن وتتأمله وتتعلم بعقلك فقط.
So all of this tells us that it's not sufficient for our religion just to rely upon our intellect.
لكنك حتى ترتقي في مستوى عبادتك لله وإيمانك بالله تحتاج إلى تأثير على قلبك ونفسك ومشاعرك حتى لا تغير سيرك بخلاف ما يمليه عليك عقلك من فهمك لدينك.
So if a person wants to rise in his levels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has to go beyond his intellect and he has to work upon his heart and his state. So then all of these lower states of himself do not overcome him and do not drive him.
ولهذا المعنى احتجنا إلى رسول الله.
And for this reason and for these means we need the Prophet ﷺ.
أمرنا بمحبته.
And that's why we've been ordered to love him.
أمرنا بتعظيمه.
And that's why we've been ordered to respect
أمرنا
him.
أمرنا بالتعلق به.
And that's why we've been ordered to attach ourselves to him.
بكثرة الصلاة والسلام عليه.
And we've been ordered to constantly send salutations to
him. حيا ومنتقلا. حيا وميتا.
While he's alive and while he's passed away. While
ليس لموته وهو الانتقال إلى الدار الآخرة أثر في معنى صلتنا به.
His death and his passing away into another world has no relationship or has no effect upon us sending salutations upon him.
لأنه ليس المقصود من صلتنا به جسده الذي أودع قبره الشريف.
Our relationship with the Prophet is not only to do with his physical body that is resting at his noble grave.
لكن مقصودنا منه طلب رضوان الله جل جلاله.
Our link with the Prophet ﷺ in reality and our attachment to him is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولأن الارتباط الكامل بحضرته هو الأساس في كمال إيماننا.
And this complete link with the Prophet ﷺ in reality is the fundamental basis of our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ربط سبحانه وتعالى جميع أمور اتصالاتنا بالنبي به سبحانه وتعالى.
Everything, all of our dealings with the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them as a cause by which we come closer to Allah.
جميع عباداتنا لله عز وجل القدوة فيها سيدنا محمد.
All of our acts of worship that take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our guide and our example in this is the Prophet
ﷺ. إلا عبادة الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Except for one thing, which is our worship.
القدوة فيها هو الله.
Except for one thing, which is our worship in sending salutations from the Prophet ﷺ. And in this, our example is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
As-salah, as-siyam, al-dhikr, al-hajj, al-zakah, al-qudwa Sayyidina Muhammad.
The fasting, the prayer, the zakah, the hajj, all of these things, our guide and our leader is the Prophet ﷺ.
وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا.
And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the messenger has come with, then take it, and whatever he orders you away from, then leave it aside.
إلا الصلاة على النبي.
Except for sending salutations from
لما أراد أن يأمرنا بها.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to order us with this.
كان هو القدوة جل جلاله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to order us to send salutation upon the Prophet ﷺ, he was the one who was the example. And he said, indeed Allah and his angels, they send salutations upon the Prophet.
ثم جعل سبحانه وتعالى ثواب الأعمال الصالحة محسوسا يتعلق بنا نحن معشر البشر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made the rewards something that is tangible for us, which we can understand and realize.
الذي يعمل من بنى مسجدا بنى الله له به بيتا في الجنة.
So the Prophet ﷺ tells us that whoever builds a mosque, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for him a house in paradise.
من صلى الخمسة من أدى الفرض وترك المحرم لم يكن بينه وبين الجنة إلا الموت.
Whoever, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fulfills the five daily prayers and he leaves aside those things which are impermissible, there's nothing between him and paradise except for death.
لقط القذى وكنس المسجد مهر الحور العين.
The removal of dirt from the mosque, the reward of it is the Hur al-Ain in paradise.
لكن لما جاء عند الصلاة على النبي.
However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the matter of sending salutation from the Prophet,
لم يجعل الجزاء جنة نهر حور قصر طعام شراب.
The reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the reward a house in paradise or a river or food or any of these kind of things.
جعل الجزاء أنه يصلي علينا سبحانه وتعالى.
The reward was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will send salutations upon us.
من صلى علي مرة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة.
And that's why we're told whoever sends salutations upon the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send salutations upon him.
من صلى علي عشرة صلى الله عليه بها مئة.
And whoever sends 10 salutations upon the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 100 salutations upon him.
من صلى علي مئة صلى الله عليه بها ألفا.
And whoever sends 100 salutations upon the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send thousands upon him.
فجعل ثمرة الصلة بحضرة الحبيب أن الثمرة تأتي جزاء من الله جل جلاله.
And so the fruit of our link with the Prophet Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will send the reward directly to ourselves.
النعيم في الجنة نوعان.
The pleasure in paradise is of two kinds.
حسي ومعنوي.
One is the physical and one is the metaphorical.
الحسي أكل شرب قصور حور أنهار بساتين.
The physical things are, for example, eating and drinking, palaces, gardens, rivers, and so on.
وهذه ربطها بالأعمال المحسوسة.
And these are the things that are linked to the physical actions that we do.
وهناك ثواب في الجنة ونعيم هو أكبر وأعظم من النعيم الحسي.
However, there are rewards in paradise which are even higher than these physical.
وهو المعنوي.
And that's the intangible ones.
إذ أن أعلى وأغلى وأرقى وألذ وأعظم نعيم في الجنة هو نعيم النظر إلى وجه الله الكريم.
And that's because the greatest and the highest and most virtuous of all things that are personally rewarded in paradise is to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
متى كان النظر نعيم؟
Now how can a vision or how can a seeing be a pleasure?
لأن المسألة تتعلق بحال الناظر.
The matter in reality is linked to the state of the person who is looking.
وجعل أعظم نعيم في الجنة بعد النظر إلى وجه الله الكريم جوار سيدنا محمد.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the next greatest thing in paradise, the next greatest reward in paradise, after seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in the companionship of the Prophet.
ذلك تعجب رسول الله وفرح من أحد الصحابة فيما جاء في السيرة.
And that's why the Prophet was amazed and he was happy with the companion as has come in the seerah.
لما أنزل الله آية العصمة وأمر رسول الله الحرس أن يتفرقوا لأن الله عصمه ومنعه وحفظه من الأعداء فلم يحتج إلى الحراسة.
And that's when the verse came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in which the Prophet was told that he has no need for the protection of any human being because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. So he has no need for any guards or anybody who will protect him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will protect him.
فانصرفوا جميعا لكن واحدا منهم لم ينصرف.
So when they were told about this, the companions, all of them turned away except for one.
وبقي مكانه.
And he remained in his place.
خرج رسول الله في الليل فوجده قائما.
The Prophet in the night, he came out from his tent and he found this person standing there.
فقال لهم الذي أبقاك وقد أخبرتكم بأن الله قد عصمني ولا حاجة إلى الحرس.
And the Prophet asked him, why are you still standing here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that I have no need for any protector when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who
فقال يا رسول الله علمت أنك أن الله قد عصمك فأغناك عن الحرس.
So he said, we know, and he said, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you protection and you have no need for our protection.
لكن نفسي حدثتني بأنك ربما يعرض لك أمر تطلبه أو تحتاج إلى شيء فأكون أول من يلبي.
However, my own self told me that maybe in the night that you'll need something, that you'll have a wish, that you'll have a desire that needs to be fulfilled. So I wanted to be the first one to be there, ready to fulfill that.
فمعنى الكلام أنا لم أقف حارسا وإنما وقفت خادما.
So the meaning of this statement is that I'm not standing here. I'm not standing here as a protector, as a god. I am standing here as a servant for you.
فتبسم رسول الله.
So the Prophet ﷺ, he smiled.
وظهرت أريحيته.
أريحية
الكرم المبرون بالرضا.
And so his pleasure and his generosity it manifested.
وقال سلني ما شئت.
And so he asked the companion, asked him, ask me whatever you want.
سلني.
Ask me whatever.
ما شئت.
Ask me whatever you want.
فقال له يا رسول الله ماذا أسأل؟ وقد أكرمنا الله بك فأخرجنا من الظلمات إلى النور من الشرك إلى التوحيد ماذا نريد؟
And so the companion asked, he said, O Messenger of Allah, what need do we have of you? What is there that we can ask of you? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's brought you in our companionship and you've taken us out of darkness into the light of belief.
فَأَصَرَّ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلْنِي مَا شِئْتَ.
But the Prophet ﷺ, he continued and he asked him, ask me whatever you want.
فَقَالَ وَلَا بُدَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ.
And the companion asked, he said, do I have to?
فَقَالَ وَلَا بُدَّ.
And the Prophet ﷺ said, you have to.
قَالَ فَأَمْهِلْنِي حَتَّى أُفَكِّرْ.
So the companion asked, just leave me for a moment. And
الرجل رأى فرصة قد لاحت له.
And so the companion, he had found an opportunity in front of himself.
ليست بالبسيطة.
And it wasn't something which was simple.
أصل الولد الصغير لو قال لك أنا مستعد أعطيك أي شيء تضحك تعرف أنه غاية ما يقدر عليه الولد الصغير قطعة من الحلوى.
So as an for example, like if a young child comes to you and he says that I'll give you anything that you want, you'll laugh at that child because he can't give you anything more than a sweet or something like that.
لو كان رجل أكبر قليل ممكن يدعوك إلى الغداء.
If it's somebody older than that, maybe the most he can do is invite you around for food.
لكنه لو كان من التجار ستهتم أكثر، تعرف أنه يستطيع أن يعطيك أكثر.
However, if he's a businessman, you'll be more concerned about him because you know he can give you more.
فإذا كان ملكا من ملوك الدنيا. شعرت أن المسألة أكبر وأكبر.
However, if the person who's offering is a king from amongst the kings of this world, then you know that it's something big.
فيكون الطمع على قدر المعطي.
So now the desire is depends upon the one who's giving.
لما قال رسول الله له سلني ما شئت.
So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, ask me whatever you want.
كان جديرا بأن يتمهل ويفكر.
So it was appropriate and it was right for the companion to stop for a moment and think.
قال هذا الصحابي فأقبلت على نفسي.
So the companion said, he said, I turned into my own self.
فقلت لها لو سألت رسول الله الدنيا بما فيها لسأل الله لذلك ولا أعطانيها. لو سألت رسول الله الدنيا بما فيها لطلبها لي من الله ولا أعطانيها.
So he was thinking to himself that if I ask the Prophet for everything in this world, then
جميع الدنيا كل الدنيا لو طلبتها
everything in this world, then the Prophet will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to the Prophet.
ولكنها ستفنى وتنتهي.
However, this is something that will pass away and it will perish.
ثم التفت إلى رسول الله.
So the companion turned to the Prophet.
وقد بدت علامات التوفيق على وجهه.
على وجه النبي.
على وجه الرجل.
And on the face of this companion it became apparent the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided him.
فقال يا رسول الله.
And he said, O Messenger of Allah.
أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة.
He said, O Messenger of Allah, I ask you that I be your companion in the paradise.
فقال له صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ولا تسأل غير ذلك.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do you not want to ask anything?
قال لا يا رسول الله.
He said, no, O Messenger of Allah.
فقال له فأعني عليها بكثرة السجود.
So he said, help me in this by doing as much prostration as possible.
معناها أعطيناك ذلك.
The meaning of this is that we have given you this.
لكن حتى تتمكن من هذا بقوة.
However, just to make sure and just to remain firm in the state.
أكثر من السجود.
Just to remain firm in the state, do as much prostration.
أعني على نفسك هذه الأمارة بالسوء.
So the Prophet ﷺ said, help me against your own self, yourself that ordered you towards evil.
السجود ذلة.
Prostration is a state of humility.
فرقي نفس الإنسان وعزتها في ذلتها لله عز وجل.
So the way that a human being rises in levels is by humbling and taking himself down in levels.
ومظهر ذلتنا لله في ذلتنا لأهل الإيمان والإسلام.
And the way that we show our humility and our lowness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by being humble towards the people of belief.
قال الله تعالى في أوصاف الذين يحبهم ويحبونه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين. هذا أول وصف. ثمرتها أعزة على الكافرين.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentions in the Quran, the first attribute he mentions is that they humble themselves in front of the believers, and the fruit of this is that they are firm and strong in front of the disbelievers.
فكان التعلق بحضرة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وطلب مجاورته في الجنة هو نعيم من أجل ومن أرقى أنواع التنعم في الجنة.
So our attachment and our link to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and our constant desire to be with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hereafter, the consequence of it is that we will attain the greatest of all pleasures in paradise, which will be to be in the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ.
لماذا جعل الله النعيم المعنوي أقوى أثرا وأبلغ تنعما من النعيم الحسي؟
Why the question is now? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that pleasure, which is intangible, which cannot be felt, greater than that pleasure which can be felt?
لأن جانب المعنى في الإنسان الروح في الإنسان أرقى من الجسد.
The reason being is that thing which is intangible in the human being, which is his soul, is a lofty and is a greater thing than his own physical body.
وهذا ما نحتاج أن نتذوقه في زماننا هذا.
And this is a thing that we need to taste and feel in our times now.
التي غلبت فيه مطالب الجسد من أكل وشرب ونكاح ونوم وغيرها على مطالب الروح.
In these times when our physical desires, when our desire to eat and to drink and to sleep and to marry and so on have overcome the requirements of our soul.
وحتى تعلم أنها لا قيمة لها المتع الحسية الجسمية إذا حرمت الإنسان من متع روحه. حتى تعلم ذلك.
Until a person knows that the
حتى تعرف أن متع الجسد إذا لم تتصل بمتعة الروح لا قيمة لها.
when a person knows that the soul and all the adornments of the soul and all that come with it, that the physical body has no comparison and no value whatsoever to the soul.
انظر إلى من يحيطون بك من غير المسلمين في البلاد التي تعيش فيها.
So know this, so know the value of the soul over the physical body. Then just look around at those non-Muslims who live amongst us.
عندهم المال.
They have wealth.
عندهم الطعام.
They have food.
عندهم الأدوات وسائل الراحة والخدمات.
They have all the things that are needed for a comfortable life.
الشهوات مباحة.
And all of the desires are available for them.
التقدم الحضارة.
They have civilization. They have advancements.
لكن مع ذلك ما عندهم سعادة.
Despite all of these things that they have no pleasure and they have no happiness.
وإذا سعد الواحد أو فرح منهم ساعة أو ساعتين اكتئب أياما متوالية.
If one of them becomes happy and pleased just for a moment in the day or for an hour in the day, then there will be many days in front of him where he's unhappy.
كان بعض الإخوان يقول لي الناس الآن في هذه البلدان من غير المسلمين إن قلت له كيف حالك في حالة السعادة الكبرى يقول لا بأس.
What he mentions that what somebody has told him that in this country that if you ask a person who's happy at that moment and he's in a good state, how are you? The most you'll say, oh, I'm okay.
Not bad.